More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, Jenna here from Pacific Underground, the show where Asians and Pacific Islanders tell our stories and unpack the issues impacting our communities. Tune in this Friday, May 5th at 9 a.m., where we're going to be talking about how the month of May is Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. While having an entire month is exciting for some, it's a complete eye roll for others. So tune in this Friday to hear the Pacific Underground crew unpack the complexity of the terms Asian and Pacific Islander and debate the benefits of having a Heritage Month all to ourselves. I personally could do without it. Again, that's Pacific Underground this Friday, May 5th at 9 a.m. right here on 90.7 FM KBOO, your community radio station. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Music of the Revolution, a benefit concert to raise money to help undocumented populations. The show takes place Friday, May 5th at 7 p.m. at the Portland Cider Company in Clackamas. Music of the Revolution is a night of building community resistance and resilience through music, culture, and love. Performers include Fernando, Trujillo, Tin Silver, Lowlight, and more. Again, that's Music of the Revolution on Friday, May 5th from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Portland Cider Company, 8925 Southeast Jansen Road in Clackamas. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes...
Yeah, this is,
They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals. They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals. All they build will be prison. Prison, prison, all that there will be.
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we will be joined by Mr. Libretto, who is a hip-hop artist based in Portland, but originally from L.A. and some other places, too. We're going to have him live in the booth here in a minute, but we're going to hear from a tune from him first titled Come Up. And this is from his album, Gangsta Jazz. This is music that he made when he was inside. So you're getting a sneak peek of what we'll be hearing from in a minute here. So here's Come Up.
Yeah, this is that untouchable funk, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This for all the players and the playettes.
Let the thunder announce my presence, and all the men show me reverence. An adjective for how I live, what I give to be a kid again, honorable citizen. I know it's impossible, an illusion that's optical. My hair follicles have disappeared, closed up, but so what? A cut is optional, fresh shave, no blade. Andy's trimmers, leaves my dome sparkle, it will shimmer. I miss pops, cabbage, and turkey chops for dinner. 10 years ago today, passed away, 31st of January. Feels like yesteryear, time flies when you're eating pie in the sky. With the bird's eye view of the blue marble, nothing. Promise tomorrow, this life is borrowed from the Most High. It doesn't pay to be a tough guy. By the way, where's your PSI? Your judgment and commitment, so I can see if you've been snitching.
The rich, bloodsuckers of the poor, the slave makers of the poor, can continue to live in luxury at your expense. This is why there are no jobs for you, black man. So that as a young man, you are forced into a life of crime.
Let me continue. What's next in the menu? Off to the races. Federal cases that have you in the illest places. Give you goosebumps when you see these niggas' faces. Ain't it been in for ages? Cherish your freedom. The government will take it, strip your butt naked. 13 months I wore a bracelet, barely made it. Copped out the 61, Hobbs Act. Robbery was my philosophy, money in a sack. And when I leave, nigga, don't look back. Keep your face flat on the ground and don't make a sound. Took that 10-gallon hat off to the rodeo. San Antonio, they know me so. I was throwing spurs at the curb for pesos de ocho. Glanced at my Seiko, God hour. Gotta go, wake me up when I arrive at the turnpike to scoop up my wife, the Queen of Zynga.
Now, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to read to you in the closing minutes of this broadcast. These are things that you will never read. They will never be printed in the Daily News or the Tribune or any of the dirt sheets that most black folk feed on or the masses of white folk feed on. It won't be printed in the Time magazine or in Newsweek or in U.S. News and World Report.
I'm from Watts, straight out of Jordan. While my sis hopscotch, I watch from the porches. Playing with my hop with my favorite, the Porsche. G's in the parking lot, bumping our core shit. Drinking what they smoke, it's making me nauseous. The one with the most ropes running the fortress. A Diodora, Tikini, Bamako. Beeping with the brick phone, nigga important. Eyes wide like I'm watching my favorite show. Uzi in the Beamer, extra clip next to the coat. 10 years old, with the shit, I'm on the post. Pivot, pass and go, I sold dope, made a lot of dough. Want to be a high roller, 100 miles down that road. Pin doors open up, opportunity closed. So really the ghetto soul was sold for that. Generations lost, still and recouper came back. Just wanted a soul that was sold and sold for that. Bretto told me I'd blow if I sold my raps. Gangsta jazz, blowing the back. Got shows, gotta hit the road, they like, just run that back.
My tongue moves is a power that you have no control over. That's a power that you can't frighten. That's a power you can't shut up. That's a power you can't imprison. That's the power in the spirit of Almighty God.
All right, KBOO, this is the Prison Pipeline Collective, and we're here this evening with Libretto. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. Maintaining, man. Peace. Peace and blessings.
Thanks for being here.
No doubt.
We really enjoyed the music. That last tune was titled Black Codes on Gangsta Jazz. And so, two questions about that. Tell us about how that album came to be. And second is the title, because again, talking about mass incarceration, it probably all goes back to the Black Codes, right? In some way or another, so.
Yeah, well, the title Gangsta Jazz comes from an EP I released while I was in prison, and then when I got out, I just, I was already writing in prison. I had over 400 songs. So when I got out, I just compiled them over these jazz loops that my man Matt Nelkin put together. And we said, yo, let's just do Gangsta Jazz, the album. So this is Gangsta Jazz Volume 2, the album. And it's just pretty much me just, you know, spilling the first thoughts that I had when I stepped out of freedom, you know what I'm saying? And stepped out of prison to freedom. So it's pretty personal. Some of my most, work that's close to me, because all that stuff I wrote, like, through the years I was incarcerated, so those were the ones that was sticking to my ribs, and I spilled them out, you know what I mean? And Black Codes is pretty much that joint came together due to the hook, actually, which is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the hook doing the speech. And basically, you know, I heard him speaking, and basically what he was talking about to me was Black Codes, you know, like back, you know, after slavery was so-called done with, they still had codes against the freed slaves that kept them, you know, suppressed, you know, before the Jim Crow, like after slavery was supposed to be abolished, and they had the Black Codes to keep, you know, the Africans, the freed Africans down. So, you know, I pretty much just went off of that, and that's how you got that song. It's featuring my man D. Coca. He's out of Watts, California. Grew up with him day one, and I love the record, man. Love it.
So can you talk a little bit about that experience of making art, being creative inside, and two things about that. One is just the creative process, right? Like how that's just different.
Yeah.
The second is, I think, again, you know, a lot of times we're talking about prison industrial complex, mass incarceration. It's always kind of, you know, we talk about the food, the conditions, and the, you know, but there's some of the aspects of the day to day that people don't really understand or get to really hear about, and I think this is also where that really drives it home. It's like, what are people doing, you know, on the ground day to day, you know, inside, you know, and part of that's being creative, it sounds like, right? So
day to day, man, is survival, you know. Mm-hmm. You survive by any means necessary. If you can survive, then you can create.
Mm-hmm.
I created as a means of escaping the nonsense.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
What I mean? Because when you're involved in prison gangs and, you know, in the feds, it's different than the states. So, you know, you got different regions and different cliques, and
right.
You know what I mean? So you have to be a part of some type of clique. There is no, you're just a freelancer.
Right.
You're with somebody. So, you know, if somebody from your clique gets into a situation, you're in that situation. You know what I mean? So I had to do what I had to do to survive. But during the meantime, everybody knew that I was, you know, an MC. They knew I was a poet, a musician. You know what I'm saying? And I just stayed writing all the time, sitting in front of the TV, writing on the yard, writing in the band room. You know, the fans have a band room. We had piano, live instruments, this, that, and the third. So I stayed studying music theory, man, and, you know, just try to stay out of the frivolous conversations and frivolous activities that can get you dead, killed, extra time on your sentence, or, you know, sitting in a shoe doing mad time in the box, you know, behind something, you know, that's stupid.
You know? So you mentioned survival. And then being creative, and it sounds like there's almost this kind of symbiotic relationship between the two, like a balance. But how do you I think you've kind of said it a little bit, but can you tell more about, like, how do you strike that balance inside with all those things you're talking about? I mean, what's the key there?
It's a release. Uh-huh. So the day to day, waking up when the cells pop open at, you know, six in the morning. You know, there's you got all your content when that door opens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got content when they lock you in at 9:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you in there in a 5x11 cell with a grown man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And with another man. And it's just that whole confinement gives you material. The books you read, you know, I read over 100 books.
Right.
You know what I mean? I studied mad, you know, literature from, you know, all type of revolutionary stuff that was considered contraband in there. I had, you know what I mean? And I could have went to the shoe and got a shot, got written up for the stuff, but it was me. I had to feed myself. So every time that cell opened, and now all the people I interact with, there's over 250 dudes in a unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right,
so you got to interact with all these different personalities, with all these dudes from different regions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And everybody's different. And then everybody's just sectioned off in different race cars and cliques. So all of those interactions give you content.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So all I did was just scribble in my pad. You know, I would write and download music off the they had a little computer system where you could download music that they put on there.
They
had a lot of jazz and stuff, so I would download a lot of jazz, a lot of, you know, old school R&B stuff that they had on there. You couldn't, like, go on the internet and search for nothing.
Right.
Just, they put it up there, that's all they got, that's all you can get. So I had over 1,100 songs when I left, and it was $1.75 a song. So, you know, I would just write to them melodies and just keep the BPMs on the side, whatever the BPM was, you know what I mean? And yeah, man, I ended up writing 400 songs, man, and, you know, it's just, when you're an artist, you're gonna take the pain and use that to make something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we do as artists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We take uncomfortable situations, make them comfortable, and then produce something that you can that manifests as something that people can adore.
Right. And where did you get a lot of your inspiration from, as far as the material you were writing inside, and then looking at kind of like, if it's different, the muse or inspiration for the material that you do now? You know, how the environment has changed the creative process.
To be honest, I really haven't wrote that much since I've been home,
because
I've been just hell bent on using these lyrics that I wrote in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so all
right,
I do is
right,
pretty much get music and I put the rhymes to the music. If it doesn't fit, and I can't find nothing to go with no, like none of these raps go with that beat, then I have to write something.
Right, right.
I only had to do that like right. 3 times since I've been out.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean? So, right. But the creative process in there, man, was just headphones all day, walking the track, walking laps, working out, you know, sitting with my older OG comrades, you know, some guys have been down for 20 plus years, mm-hmm, man, mm-hmm, and just doing the knowledge with them, you know right, what I'm saying? Right. Sitting with some Wall Street dudes who's got, you know, hundreds of millions in the Cayman Islands, you know what I'm saying? But they doing 15, 20 year bids at 50 years old, gaining information from wow, these dudes, you know what I mean? And just, you know, spending a lot of time with God and myself, man, and just humbling mm-hmm, myself in that situation and really doing some spiritual search. And, you know, the countless books, man, everything from you know, The Big Short to If They Come in the Morning by Angela Davis, you know. Mm-hmm. Right, I read everything right, from, you know, our history and ancestors to, you know, balancing your budget on the stock market and options, man. Yeah. So all of that stuff right, combined, you'll hear on this album.
So what I hear you saying is that since you've been out, it's more like you've been busting your chops to get all this stuff dialed in, get it out there.
Facts.
Produce it.
Facts.
Everything, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just really trying right, to get it right, out there right, and find an right, outlet for all this material yeah, because I don't want to see it go on, you know, without yeah, being used. You know,
well,
I
mean, man, it's great. It's great stuff, man.
Well,
so
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and anybody who's just tuning in, we're here at the Prison Pipeline Collective, KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. We're here with Libretto, checking out some of the tunes from Gangsta Jazz. And the next one is titled Come Up, and listen very closely to the lyrics. There is definitely a lot of mention about a lot of different social issues, but mass incarceration also being one of them. So we're going to get right into that track, and we'll be back here with Libretto, KBOO.
Much obliged. Mm-hmm. It's no surprise how I take dives and come back up with no bubbles.
Nope.
Baptized in the struggle, capsized troubles arise subtle. My demise has a rebuttal replied. Obnoxious, cocky, confident, conscious on my stumble. But I don't love you. Drug text fumble. I confess, hug you for your breast bubbles. Stung by the bumble. B, C, cause they're swollen up. Another chemical reaction must have happened. Cause your feminine's fattened till my satisfaction erupt. With passion, lust, climaxing off your touch. Enough. Back to the lab for some lean Aberdeen and collard greens. Stacks of wax, beat machines and keys. Augmented sevens release the tension through diminished. When finished, erect stanzas with 3D cameras. Standard plasma visuals, it's all principle.
Looking for a
looking
come for up, they gon' say my name. Looking for the future, you gon' repeat that name again. Looking for a
when
you're looking for what come up, they gon' say my name.
Preto,
say my name. They gon' say, yeah.
Merge on a cynical with bigger stamina of Black Panthers. Nat Turner's murder with a pistol. Blood on my chains in the name of Marcus Garvey. An intellect of Malcolm X. I resurrect the party for the people. Hands up, don't shoot.
Please, I can't breathe.
They got the black man noosed hanging from a tree. I guess we're not at liberty to be. Breathe deep, deep bass. A race who refuse to be erased. Your mason tear gas won't last. We enjoy the taste of radioactive waste. Stress, no mask on our face when I protest. Let's organize the confusion we lose, and it's a mess. Test that they're using on the union. Yes, the revolution been in effect. Get a late pass check. Federal and state correction institutions, they feel to capacity. Free man, the audacity.
Looking for
a
come up, they gon' say my name. Looking for the future, you gon' repeat that name again. Looking for a
when you're looking for a come up,
they gon' say my name. Preto, say my name. They gon' say, yeah, they gon' say my name. Looking for a come up, they gon' say my name. Looking for the future, gon' repeat that name again. Say my name.
KBOO Portland. We're here with Libretto. This is Prison Pipeline Collective. That was the come up from Gangsta Jazz. So, talking about a lot of different things in there. You talked a little bit about mass incarceration. What's going on with that tune?
The come up, man, was pretty much just some loose lyrics that I put together, and I liked the way they sounded over the music, and kind of changed my style up a little bit and doing some different things. And as far as the content goes, you know, on that specific record, I pretty much talked about, you know, how they do, you know, citizens in this country, man, inside of prisons. You know what I mean? And just how, you know, like from the gate, when you come in the federal system, man, when you're housed and finally get your time, you're subject to living in a cell with three individuals for an undisclosed amount of time. You know what I mean? So like when I first came in, I was in a three-man cell for like a month. You know what I mean? And it's it's the worst of the worst, man. You know, I mean, you got three grown men sharing one toilet. You know what I mean? And it's kind of you only get two flushes every 10 minutes. You know, so the inhumane stuff that they subject you through is set to dehumanize you off the bat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for dudes coming in there getting a lot of time, that forces them to go to the psych, and then the psych will say, "Oh, okay, why don't you go over here and take this pill?"
Right.
And then you see this pill line when it's time for a pill line after chow, after dinner time. The line, man, is ridiculous, man. Mm-hmm. And you got all these dudes, young dudes, man, and they off all type of drugs. You know, me myself, I was included. I had anxiety. You know, I went weeks without sleeping. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I couldn't shut my thoughts off, so I had to take something. I tried. They made me meditate. They made me read and do all that. None of that stuff worked, and I finally had to take a pill. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To help me sleep. And that's just part of the incarceration. I was just, you know, in shell shock. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that happened the whole 4.5 years I was inside. You know what I mean?
So it didn't settle down really the whole time?
Nah, it just settled down when I got out of the halfway house.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I could actually sleep. But I still have, like last week, I didn't sleep for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. It'll just pop up out of nowhere.
Who has to pay for those?
I mean, they pay for it, but now I got, you know, with the Oregon Health Plan, Obamacare, whatever, they will pay for it if I need it. But I try not to stay on the pill. You know, I would try to sleep. Like even when I went weeks without sleeping, the longest I went was like 5 days straight. And I would still go to the yard and work out. Because I'd be like, man, I know I'm going to go to sleep after this workout. Oof. I know I'm going to go to sleep, right? And I go to my cell, and then it'd be locked down, and I'm tossing and turning, bro, all night. Mm-hmm. And I hear the keys. I hear every time they count us. And all the way to 6 in the morning, I just get up and go again. Right. Straight to this microwave, zapping the coffee. Bam! And go again. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it changed. It made me a lot more stronger as an individual, but to go through that furnace, to come out sharp, you know what I mean? But I don't wish it on no man, because you got dudes in there, man, that's coming in with no evidence, man. I mean, they got hearsay. Mm-hmm. You got dudes getting slayed 20 years, 50 years, man. They first charges.
Right.
Due to conspiracy charges. The feds have put conspiracy on a ham sandwich, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they give you all of this time. You know what I mean? So they get dudes to flip and tell. I done seen dudes tell on their mothers, their cousins, their brothers, and they go to court thinking they're going to get less time, and they still get slayed. Because once you sign that plea agreement and take that 5K1 letter, it's still up to the judge to sentence you.
They tried
to give me this tell on my cousin, my first cousin. That was the first deal. Tell us your cousin put you up to this crime and you'll walk. That was the first deal the agents gave me when I went in downtown New York, man, 500 Pearl Street, before I even got booked.
They
took me in a room and asked me to give up my cousin. My cousin had nothing to do with the situation.
Right, just completely random.
They just wanted him for something else.
Right.
They couldn't get him.
Right.
And now they got me, so they like, oh yeah, we're going to pinch him and get him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We heard from, you know, the tune Black Codes, but, you know, you're talking about that whole ball of wax, and it was like the whole system has always been breaking up families for such a long time. And so it's interesting, even in that sense, right, that, you know, there's the friends and family involved in your life that are, you know, have to deal with the fact that you're incarcerated when that was the case. And then here they are also trying to bring in other members, you know, of the family, you know, and the way that's so systemic, you know. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you just gave a picture of that life day to day, you know, with not being able to sleep. And I think these are the other things that people, you know, don't realize, you know, that, I mean, sure, it's probably, it's uncomfortable or whatever, but, but on that level, right, where, I mean, it sounds like it's almost, there's almost the, you know, the sensory deprivation.
Yeah.
And you know, like, well, almost like a form of torture or something.
Yeah, and it's, and then you have to be on point. So you don't sleep, and then you wake up and you're around a bunch of killers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You wake up and you're around dudes that got life sentences, man, with nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. They'll blow your head off for even talking too loud in front of their cell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you still have to be aware, respectful. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that prison taught me that I, you know, glad I went through, for one thing, is that respect. And that's the respect level in prison. I feel like everybody on the streets almost needs to go to prison for 6 months just because the respect level, though. That's one thing do I can say was, you know, should be out here in a society, but there's no respect out here. Out there, all you in prison, all you hear is, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, excuse me, because you don't know what this man is going through. This man got something this big on him, you know what I'm saying? And he just had a bad phone call with his wife or found out his kids or something like that. And so all you hear is, oh, pardon me, excuse me, go ahead. You don't walk in front of people's TVs, you know what I'm saying? You don't disrespect no other race, none of that stuff. Because all of that stuff can start a riot, and now you can get killed or wind up killing somebody, protecting your life, and now you got a life sentence.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, for purposes of time, can you talk a little bit about, again, you know, the inside outside experience, you know, now being outside, and you know, what have been, if there has been so many barriers or not? I know, you know, it seems like you came out, you know, like
determined,
running, yeah. It's like you're ready to sprint and stuff like that, and not everybody has that experience. So can you kind of talk about where that's taking you now? And also literally where that can take people in the musical experience as well with you, you know, moving forward.
Well, I basically, man, I looked at prison as punishment, and I didn't go in there and try to, it wasn't no vacation. You know, I got my physical temple right. You know, I worked out 3 times a day, and I read and studied, and I made plans. Mm-hmm. So I said, when they let me out of this place, if I make it out alive, you can forget about it. Right. You know what I'm saying? With all the wisdom and information I gained in there from them dudes, there's some brilliant dudes behind them gates, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I picked up a lot of information. So when I hit the ground, I just, like you said, I just been running. I ran into barriers, like just housing, of course, because I'm a felon with a violent crime. You know what I mean? So God only blessed me with this landlord, that a private owner that was willing to rent to me.
Yeah, didn't judge
you know what I'm saying? That didn't judge me on that and gave me a chance. And I rent a room right now for $650 a month.
Can you just say a little bit more about that experience? So like, did you get denied like a lot of places?
Oh man, I got turned down about 10 times.
And they said exactly what it was.
They said it was my felony. Uh-huh. I just got out of prison, and I don't want to disclose all my information, but it says violent crime with a firearm on my record when they pull it up. You know what I mean?
So it's like need not apply at a lot of places.
But I was doing it anyway. I was just like going places, just like, look, hopefully I'll find somebody. And then, you know, this guy just gave me a chance, and I've been living there for almost a year in August now, and I can use him as a reference for when I go try to get my own little studio or something.
Exactly.
So those barriers, which Michelle Alexander talks about in the new Jim Crow, that is the honest truth. You're a second class citizen for life. You know what I mean? And there's really no way I can get that expunged. You know what I mean? And I got a 15-year sentence hanging over my head if I commit any crime due to the ACC laws of the federal government, a career criminal. So, you know, I didn't let that be a hurdle. I went. I got a job the first week I was out. You know, all glory to God, man. I worked at Nordstrom Rack. I ended up volunteering at the Rosewood Initiative. From the Rosewood Initiative, I ended up getting a job there, running a studio program. And so that kept me, you know, I learned the music theory in there. I taught myself how to play the piano with the help of another inmate so I can play actual instruments now. You know what I mean? And I'm teaching the kids there now how to play instruments. They all want to be beat makers. I'm like, okay, first learn an instrument.
Yeah.
Because we have no art in schools more. Right. So with that being said, you know, I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, you know.
And you come into McLaren with
coming to McLaren with you, man. Yeah, so, hanging out, you know, talking, giving those dudes some wisdom, and you know, I'm just trying to use just this last, you know, time I got on this earth to the best of my abilities to help others.
And for people to check out your stuff, what's the best way to check
that
out?
Best way to check it out is slumfunk.com. And you can reach me at brettoslumfunk.com on the IG, Instagram, Libretto on Facebook. And yeah, or just Google Libretto Hip Hop and LIBRETTO and everything will pop up.
Yeah, and you got a bunch of albums up there now, but I think Gangsta Jazz is my favorite one. But
well, I'm dropping a new one in May, late. Well, it might be out this month later with Boots Riley and Lyrics Born.
All right.
And it's called Hit or Miss. So you guys check for that. Man, new 12-inch coming.
Make sure we get that at KBOO for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at KBOO.FM/Prison Pipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Want to thank our guest, Libretto. Thanks so much. Hope to see you soon. Get you back on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And continue,
man,
the conversation, you know.
And I want to give a shout out to all my dudes listening and yep, Sheridan, FCI, all those in OSP in the state doing time. Anybody that could pick up this broadcast that's incarcerated, hold your head, eat healthy, stay out that microwave, you know, exercise, man, and stay out of the frivolous activities, man, and get home, man.
Right on. And thanks to our lovely engineer, Danielle Parks. Have a great evening. Free them all. We'll see you next week.
They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals.